You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Gold Hawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Gold Hawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Gold Hawk Fights Back on Zoomer Radio. Here is Dale Gold Hawk.
Well, as we were talking about a few moments ago, an awful lot going on in Ottawa. Messages being sent out by the Trudeau government that suggest some changes in attitude and practice, a return of the long-form census, the mute off the diplomats around the world, giving them an opportunity to actually talk to journalists, express some of their thoughts. One of the other things that was a large plank, actually, in the Liberal campaign was a promise to nearly double federal infrastructure investment. The figure given was almost $125 billion over the next 10 years. Sounds great, big numbers. What does it mean to mere mortals such as you and such as me? On the line to help us with this whole set of issues is Barry Steinberg. He's Chief Executive Officer of Consulting Engineers of Ontario. Barry Steinberg, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, and it's great to be back. Thanks for the invitation.
Well, listen, help us understand this infrastructure spending. We kind of think we need it, but you represent the engineers. You know that we need it, and you know how this might play out. Give us a first chapter in this. How would you hope it would play out?
Well, first of all, of course, we hope that the promises will be kept, and we're certainly very optimistic that that will be the case. The promises were that infrastructure spending will be increased from about $65 billion to $125 billion over the next decade, and that essentially will double federal infrastructure spending over the next 2 to 3 years to $10 billion per fiscal year across the country. And one very important thing is to look at where the focus is on this. Happy to answer a question on that. It's very important to look at the focus of the infrastructure spending, and also that the new minister, Minister Sohi from Alberta,
right.
He is the Minister of Infrastructure and Communities, and that's important because I think that that's a signal from the federal government that municipalities and their needs are very, very important.
Well, they've renamed a number of ministries, I think you're right, that are trying to show a different kind of attitude. How much of that will come to Ontario is a question Ontario residents will always ask.
Well, I think it's always going to depend on a whole set of things. Certainly, because there's going to be a focus on public transit and transportation, and hopefully there will be a long-needed national transit strategy, knowing that Ontario, the GTHA, have large transit needs then. And I think Prime Minister Trudeau made the point that the GTHA will get the money that's required to hopefully meet our transit needs. So that's one aspect.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it has to do with the performance of the province and the municipalities and the municipal asset planning that's done at the municipal level that shows the need across our province. So, a part of it is on our shoulders also.
In order to demonstrate the need for the infrastructure spending coming from the feds.
Exactly. Coming from the province. I mean, the municipalities have to show the need.
Yeah, well, I mean, the provinces, I mean, look at what's happening today. Hydro One's going on the block, and 60% of it anyway. And there's money in there. They expect, these numbers, $9 billion in total proceeds, of which maybe $4 billion would go into infrastructure spending from Ontario.
Yes, you have to understand, of course, that, and I know you do, that the Ontario government has promised $131 billion over the next 10 years to go to infrastructure.
Yeah, this is just a drop in the bucket, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. We have a one. You know, we talk about, and you've heard me say this before. We talk about, you know, deficits of $12 billion, $8 billion. And these are the visible deficits. The deficit we don't see is the $100 billion in infrastructure deficit we have, infrastructure that needs to be fixed. And that doesn't include infrastructure that we need to, capital infrastructure that we need to expand.
Well, what's the infrastructure that needs to be fixed? Help us understand that. Give us a picture of that.
Well, we have, as you know, crumbling roads and bridges. We have on highways, on local roads. We have, as I think I've said before, depending on where you are in the province, 20 to 40% of the water being pumped to homes and businesses is being lost through leaking pipes. And this has a huge impact not only on other infrastructure, because uncontained water is not the friend, it's our enemy. Mm. And it also has an impact on the energy used to pump that water to wherever it's being leaked. So this needs to be fixed. And this, as I say, is up to $100 billion across the province in infrastructure that must be fixed.
And that's just what needs to be fixed. That doesn't involve laying any new track for a subway or an LRT.
Or for example, electrification of the Go corridor. Now, a lot of this in Ontario is being done through a public-private partnership process, or what we call AFP, Alternative Financing Procurement, and that helps bring financing in from the private sector, and it helps deliver projects, and it makes sense in the larger scale projects. So, you know, we need to put the whole thing together and essentially, it's a puzzle, and we have to fit that puzzle together.
Well, are you concerned that when some of this infrastructure money becomes available, either through the sale of hydro for that little amount of money or money coming from federal infrastructure spending, that it'll be spent in the right and proper way? I mean, who's going to be advising? Who's going to be guiding on this these projects from an Ontario point of view? I imagine you and other consulting engineers would want to have some say in that.
Well, we do. We are very much an advocate, not only for our members, but for good infrastructure across the province. We are also a founding member of an organization called the Construction and Design Alliance of Ontario, which brings the broader construction sector together, and this group advocates for making sense of the infrastructure needs across the province and doing things in a systematic way. We also, you talked about making sure things are done properly. It's very important that, and both the federal government and the provincial government have indicated that this is important to them, that revenues that are raised are then put into dedicated funding for infrastructure. Whether it's dedicated for transit and transport or dedicated for other aspects of infrastructure, it must be dedicated. These revenues cannot go into a general pool, otherwise they'll be spent on other things. But I think governments are starting to realize that the dedicated funding is the key.
Do you think, are you concerned, is your membership concerned that more money will tend to go into things that show, like transit development, even roads, and that other things that are essential and important, like pipes underneath the ground, will take very much a back seat in all of this?
Well, it's always a concern. And when I say it's a concern, it's that we're always monitoring it and cognizant of the fact that there is an aspect of politics in any infrastructure revitalization and infrastructure development, and that to a large extent happens in the social infrastructure side of things, where you look at housing and colleges and universities and that thing, because you have an opportunity to ribbon cut. And it's not that we begrudge that, by the way. It's just that we have to make sure that there's a good balance. And it seems that the way the provincial government has really been focusing on that. What happened towards the election is that the previous government was really focusing on funding infrastructure projects that were a little more focused on political decisions and ribbon cutting. But when this particular government talks about focusing on municipalities and municipal asset management planning and that kind of thing, when the decisions are made using those criteria, there's more of a likelihood that they'll be good decisions.
As long as the money actually makes it to where it needs to get to.
Absolutely.
If you pardon my clumsy language on that. That's always, I mean, the promises always sound a whole heck of a lot better than actual check that arrives in the mail or doesn't arrive in the mail. And I think a lot of Ontarians are skeptical about some of those things because we have been promised an awful lot, particularly, say, in transit development, talking about it for years and years and years, and yet very little seems to happen.
Well, you know, I think it's healthy that the citizens of Ontario and of Canada are skeptical, because they should be holding the government's feet to the fire. They're our government, and these assets, whether in Ontario or across the country, are the assets that are owned by the citizens of this country and the citizens of this province. And we have to remember that. They belong to us. And so, yes, we should be skeptical, and it should be a healthy skepticism. It's important. You talk about promises. It's really important to ensure something, because previous governments have been guilty of chronic underspending. I'm talking about federal governments now, have been guilty of chronic underspending. So they make the provinces, they make the promises, I'm sorry, and they do the budgets, and yet they're still underspending. And from my perspective, that's due to a lack of planning. And it's important that the Trudeau government must develop and execute plans to deliver. It's important to have a plan to deliver. And if you have that plan, there's a higher likelihood that that money will be spent, and that money will be spent in areas that make sense.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.
Goldhawk Fights Back on Zoomer Radio. Here is Dale Goldhawk.
My guest is Barry Steinberg, CEO of Consulting Engineers of Ontario, representing 200 engineering firms in the province. We're talking about infrastructure, the need for it, our infrastructure backlog, promises of infrastructure spending coming from the new Liberal government in Ottawa, and existing promises to come from the not-so-new government the provinces. This is all, Barry Steinberg, all absolutely essential spending. And can a case be made that if we don't spend on the infrastructure, or that if we, let me put it the other way, if we do spend on infrastructure, some of the other costs of operating our governments, our systems, our developments, those costs go down because we have a better infrastructure?
Absolutely. I think, I state this regularly, that in order for us to, for infrastructure to stimulate economic activity and growth, in order for us to eliminate the infrastructure deficit we talked about, investment must be about 5% of GDP. Currently, the provinces and the municipalities are at about 2.8%, and the federal government was at about one-third of 1%, which took that to about just over 3% of the GDP. That doesn't work for us. That doesn't get us where we need to be. And this is where the stimulation of economic activity and growth has an impact on other areas of government. Now, by doubling the federal contribution, it takes us to just over 3.5%. So this is a good start. We can't expect everything all at once, but we're not there yet.
We've been saying that for many years, haven't we?
We have, but you know, it's. I'm optimistic that we're getting there. So we need to make up another 1.5%. So hopefully, the federal government or the provincial government will get themselves up to 2%, which they really would like to be able to do. The feds will get up to 2%, and the municipalities will get up to 1%, and part of the federal program is going to help them do that through borrowing. And I have to tell you that now, with the interest rates what they are, this is the best time to borrow. So, you know, this is a partnership among all three levels of government to really make this country better on so many levels.
So finally, it might actually happen. That's what you're hoping anyway.
Yes, we see movement. We see movement on the federal level. And if there's movement on the federal level, that will move downward to the provinces and the municipalities. And the new federal government has signaled that they really see the importance of helping out municipalities. There are 444 municipalities in our province, and many of them are very small. they need some help.
But how many people who live in the municipalities, the small ones and the big ones like Toronto, how many of the people really understand and appreciate the need for infrastructure? You know, it doesn't make a very good protest sign, does it? We want more infrastructure. Are people really engaged in this?
They're becoming more engaged. We want to get them more engaged. We're hoping that they'll listen to programs like this, and I commend you for having programs like this so the public gets an understanding of the importance of infrastructure. They, you know, they understand the importance of the arenas and affordable housing and the importance of other social infrastructure, seniors facilities, early learning and child care facilities. They understand these needs on a interest group by interest group basis. They understand the need for good roads and bridges that aren't crumbling. In larger urban centers, you know, transit is a huge issue.
Yeah.
But what we don't understand, or what the average citizen doesn't understand, is the invisible infrastructure. When we turn on our taps, we expect clean, drinkable water. When we plug in our toaster, we expect it to get hot. And we don't ask, how did that get there? How did that happen? And what would happen if it all went wrong? And by having this infrastructure deficit, particularly this invisible infrastructure deficit, things can go wrong if we don't take care of business.
Well, even if the spending meant that the infrastructure deficit didn't get any worse, we still wouldn't be in good shape with just that kind of spending, would we?
No, we wouldn't be in good shape, because this infrastructure deficit increases every day and gets more expensive every day. So from year to year, prices go up, construction prices go up, it gets more expensive. And it's constantly increasing, because as time goes on, there's always deteriorating pipes. There's always crumbling bridges and roads that need fixing. This is also a public safety hazard in many cases, and we have to understand that, you know, dirty water and large potholes and poorly designed highways or highways, shouldn't say poorly designed, but highways that now don't meet their need through the designs of the past need to be improved, and that's a public safety issue.
Are we doing any worse than states and cities in the U.S., or are we about the same?
Well, it depends on what you're looking at. I think in many ways we're probably about the same.
Yeah.
But the GTHA has probably one of the, if not the worst commute times in North America.
Yes, I remember recent statistics showing precisely that, even worse than L.A.
Yes, now we're at an average of 82 minutes commute time going one way. And so that's projected to go up much higher. The time lost in traffic costs in the GTHA is about $7 billion per year. And that's projected to go up as high as $15 billion over the next 15 years. And that doesn't actually account for the economic losses due to not being able to transfer goods effectively around the province.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a huge economic effect, and there's a huge, as I said, public safety effect.
Well, that's what I was talking about a few minutes ago in terms of the savings. If we fix the infrastructure, other things we don't have to spend on.
We do.
We don't have to lose the $7 billion.
Well, there's another thing that's often lost in all of this is that if you fix this infrastructure, this means a lot of construction, and a lot of construction means jobs.
Yeah.
So jobs mean creating or increasing the tax base for governments. And if you do that, there's more revenues. So, you know, if you look at what is, you know, the single most important aspect in terms of economics, particularly in this province, it is improvement in infrastructure and building of capital infrastructure that needs to be built.
Well, sure, you get the infrastructure at the end of the day, but before you get the infrastructure, you get a lot of people working at a lot of jobs.
Absolutely.
Well,
so you can see it makes total sense.
Well, it makes total sense, but here we are still waiting impatiently. But
well,
as you say, maybe there are some reasons now to be, we shouldn't go all Pollyanna on this, but be a little more optimistic about what might be coming down the pipe.
It's a cautious optimism, meaning that everything looks promising, but we have to realize that we as the public have a responsibility to make the government accountable for what they do. And organizations such as Consulting Engineers of Ontario also have a responsibility to advocate on behalf of what's in the best interest of the people of Ontario.
Have the Consulting Engineers of Ontario been consulted by these governments you would like to move?
Yes, we are consulted. We speak to the government on a regular basis. We speak to opposition on a regular basis. And ourselves and through our national body, we speak to the federal government. So the answer is yes. We're constantly watching and speaking to not only politicians but their staff and officials to ensure that planning is done.
Maybe a year from now, Barry Steinberg, we can be having a conversation and talking about some of the infrastructure projects that are underway.
We can talk about them in a year from now, and to some extent we can talk about them now. When we in terms of transit in the GTHA, and we look
True
at
enough.
You know what's going on, what Metrolinx is doing, we can talk about them now, but we're looking forward to talking about them even more in the future.
Barry Steinberg, thanks for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye now.
Barry Steinberg, the CEO of Consulting Engineers of Ontario, waiting for all that infrastructure money to come our way.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.